Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Margaret, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Well, I'm excited today to introduce our guest, Allie Padilla. I said that right?
You got it right.
That's great. Allie is with us from Journey Counseling. And I love Journey Counseling and have had friendships with folks that work there and actually have been a client myself and have found some amazing healing through Journey Counseling. And so love biblical counseling. And we want to talk about that. But before we get there today, I would love to just hear a little bit about Allie and where are you from? How'd you grow up? Anything that you'd want to share with us just to kind of so folks kind of have a context for you.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Yes, my name is Allie. I am a native of the Shenandoah Valley. I was just talking with Grayson. I actually grew up in Barrington behind the church here.
Oh, wow.
So felt like coming home, driving over here today.
That's cool.
It is cool. I have always loved counseling and loved Journey. Growing up here, I got to kind of have a front row seat to Journey's involvement. But I grew up the oldest of three. My mom loves the Lord. My dad does not know the Lord. And so there's some heartbreak there. Yeah. My parents are not together. And so I have some personal experiences with heartache that I think allows me to have compassion and empathy with those who are struggling.
Yes.
I'm also the beneficiary of pastors and counselors who have spoken truth. And so I know personally that freedom that Christ can bring. Mm-hmm. But I also know the common grace of counseling and the clinical tools that God gives us.
Yes.
I'm married. My husband works at Blue Ridge Christian School. I have a four-year-old daughter and a four-month-old son.
Oh, wow.
That is exciting.
That is exciting.
Yes. And so that's a lot of my time outside of the counseling world is being mom and a wife and learning those roles.
And there's seasons, right?
Yes, they are, and they're hard seasons at different times, but they're beautiful, too.
I told a friend recently, the days are long, the years are short, and it is a season, and embrace that season of motherhood. And it just adds a whole layer or facet to life that's beautiful, and navigating that can be a little tough.
Yeah. You need to stretch little things at different points, but it's a beautiful calling, and I'm grateful to have all those responsibilities. Yeah.
So when did you come to Christ?
I have my favorite kind of testimony where I don't have a day where I don't remember knowing the Lord.
I love those
are my favorite stories because I think it just shows that's faithfulness to me.
Right.
Even when I didn't recognize it, that he's always known my name. And I think a big part of that is because of my mom and the lineage of women and believers in my family who loved Jesus and made sure that we knew that from day one. So that's my favorite thing, is that I've always known who Jesus is and who he's known who I am.
Wow.
So I've grown up in the church. A church is a big part of my healing story. You know, when heartbreak hit my family at different points, the church has always been present. And what a gift that
Praise
is.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. We hear stories these days that don't
reflect that.
Right. But there are
stories where the church does show up and model what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that that's part of my story always. So I've always known Jesus. I love the church. I grew up at Covenant Presbyterian Church. And it's really cool to grow up in a church and then raise your children in the same church and have the generational blessings of all of seeing people you've known since you were 5, 7, now parents too. And so I'm grateful for that. I've always known who Jesus is. And I think the church has instilled in me a good theology of the Bible and of who God is. And I think that's so important when we go through hard things, that our theology can be a refuge.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. I know who God is. And I know who I am in relationship to him. That makes a world of difference and purpose in my suffering.
A firm foundation, right? A place to fall. The scripture, Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. You know, it's where we fall.
Yes.
Right.
He's closer to us than our circumstances, right?
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And that's a great testimony. You know, a lot of people think, well, if I didn't go through all these things or didn't do all these bad things, that I don't have a testimony. But part of a testimony is God's story through us and being able to have that Christian lineage. And you say, never knowing a day that you didn't know Christ. You know, I grew up in the church and Pastor Margaret grew up in the church, but not everybody was fortunate to be raised in the church, and we shouldn't take that for granted.
Right. And to recognize the privilege that is, right? That sure, you know, the church does not protect us from everything, right. And sometimes the church causes harm, right. But that's, you know, that God has designed us to grow up in a community, in our families to know the Lord, and designed us for the church at large to be that place where, you know, where parents fall through and there's gaps that our church family can fill those gaps. And that's been my personal experience where, you know, my mom needed support. There's men in my church who have stepped up to be the leaders and supporters that we needed at different points. And that's a beautiful thing.
And, you know, the church is made up of imperfect people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the church isn't perfect, but to see the beauty of being surrounded in brokenness is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and my dad is a very present person in my life, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man, you know, but we just have different beliefs.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the things I've been really blessed by is when my family was going through a really painful season with my brother, then the church was very supportive in that. And, you know, one of my pastors told my dad, he said, we are going to be here for your family. And he goes, I know. And I think that was a testament to me itself of what the church can do.
Yeah.
You know, even though we don't maybe believe the same things, that he trusts my church to care for our family.
I think Jesus, the thing that Jesus did so well, is he showed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is what it's about, is showing up. And it's not showing up to make everybody believe what we believe. Right.
Right.
But it's showing up to show them the love of Jesus, to allow us to be the hands and feet of the Lord, right?
Right.
Which is really wild that he would use the likes of us, right? Mm-hmm. But he does. And it's about showing up and being a constant in people's lives because we're not the Savior, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love Pastor Carrie Grayson's dad has a great, he has a lot of, we call them Carrie-isms. But longevity is a great convincer. And I see that he knows, although he may not agree, he knows, your dad knows that the church is going to show up and they are going to love his family. And that means something to him, even though he doesn't agree.
Right.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Allie, you said you grew up having a front row seat kind of to Journey and it beginning. So share about that.
Yeah. So Journey began in 2008. Pastor John Keebler was the founder of Journey, and he was a pastor first. He always says that he's a pastor first at heart, and he was also clinically trained as a clinician. And his heart for Journey would be that we were an arm to the church. You know, he recognized as a pastor the overwhelming responsibility to care for the congregation in the church, but also the capacity issues where, you know, pastors are supposed to be the teachers, the shepherds, the counselors, the every hat that pastors have to wear. And so his heart was that we would have biblically based and clinically trained counselors who can come alongside the church and help pastors. And we, you know, we don't shepherd, but we can care and counsel. And so that's something I had the privilege to being one of John's counselees, I guess, clients when I was very young. And some of his words were very transformative for me. I struggled a lot with anger as a child. I think I have a high righteous, I can be self-righteous, and I also can be very justice-minded. And so I think that can lead me to be pretty angry at different points. And I remember sitting in his office, I think I was like 10 years old, and he was like, Allie, your anger is unrighteous right now. And that was no other words were as transformative of those words in my life, of having someone recognize my pain, but having someone recognize my sin and saying, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And so John always jokes that he had a wonderful plan for my life to become the clinical director of Journey, which is just really funny that it did come true.
Yeah.
So I have loved Journey from the beginning. And loved its mission and seen it grow and change. You know, Journey looks very different than it did 15 years ago. But our mission and vision is still the same. So that's kind of what I mean when I got a front row seat. I was a beneficiary from the beginning.
Right. Yeah, you received you received from them, mm-hmm. and now you're giving back.
Yeah. 12-year-old Allie is still geeking out that I get to do what I get to do, because this was my dream, and it was to be a counselor here at Journey, because I know and I believe firmly that we need both. We need God's truth, and we need the skill sets of clinical training to really fully care for us.
For those listening who might not understand, when you say clinically and biblically, mm-hmm. talk to us a little bit about that, just to help our listeners.
Right. Biblically is the most important thing, right? So every counselor at Journey has a strong biblical foundation, you know, that we don't counsel ever against scripture. That is the most important framework that we come from. We have different denominations, and you know, we've had Presbyterian, we've had Baptist, we've had non-denominational, you know, all of these wonderful expressions of the church.
Yes.
You know, and I think our unifying kind of core doctrine is the Westminster Confession of Faith. And in that just reflects what we think is the most true parts of scripture. Yes. And so that's our first framework. And then the second is, we do think that God has given us common grace and knowledge about how the body and the brain works. And so being clinically trained, having a master's degree in counseling, pursuing licensure and those things gives us a better understanding of the way God designed our brains and bodies to work. And so when we integrate those two things, we get to address the body, the mind, and the spirit, mm-hmm. which we do think believes just provides the best total care for the person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. How many counselors do you all have?
Right now we have four. Okay. I have myself, Evan Pergram, Susan Medlin, and Eldamaris Colandres. And we're hopefully going to have a practicum student join us this summer, and you know, and hopefully more counselors as God provides them.
Yeah. Now you came on mm-hmm. as the, give me your, I should have introduced
That's
you
okay.
with it.
I'm the clinical director. Yeah, I became the clinical director in 2020, beginning of 22, I think. So that's been a newer role for me. Yes. I've been a clinician there since 2019.
Okay.
But yeah, I've stepped into that role. And so kind of what that role is that I get to provide leadership for our counseling team and kind of be the liaison between our counselors and our board and just, be the face of Journey in some ways like this.
And you've been here setting up a table, right?
Yes, I have. Yes,
in the parking lot. Fair.
Yes.
So, that's beautiful. Just for you to come out of the fabric of our community. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate you being willing just to share mm-hmm. a little bit of your journey and how that does lead us to a calling. Mm-hmm. It, you know, like God doesn't waste a hurt, right?
He uses your hurt to help you. You said you could empathize mm-hmm. with people because of the things that you've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that Jesus's experience with us? He's our great high priest who empathizes with our weaknesses. Yeah. And we get a glimpse of that in our own stories when we allow God to use our stories for the beauty of his church and his greater purposes.
What would you say to someone that's listening that may not even realize that what they're dealing with is something that someone would be glad to walk them through? Mm. You know, sometimes we don't even realize, like it took me years to realize, I probably need some help with that. And that the power of being able to go back and to deal with things and leave them. Mm-hmm. Speak truth even to that little girl. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone listening going, I don't know if I'm even a candidate for that?
Right. Well, I think I would start with is that God cares about our stories. You know, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it's something around 60% of scripture is narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, and so from that we can see that God cares about our stories. And so I think we should too, you know, and to know our stories. And if we have things that keep coming up and rearing its ugly head, whether it's anxiety or anger or whatever, that matters mm-hmm. to God first. And so it should matter to us. Yeah. And I think there is some stigma in the church and the community at large with mental health of I'm crazy. I've heard that so many times. I'm like, I don't want to be crazy. I'm like, you're not. You're struggling.
That's right.
Those are two different things.
That's right.
And so just to have permission to not be okay, I think, and to not fall into the lie that Satan will tell us that we need to do this alone. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's where he's most powerful is when we isolate from the church, from God. You know, if he can put us and get us alone, he can really distort what we believe to be true. And so to have someone to walk alongside, whether it is a counselor or a pastor or a good friend, that allows us to say out loud what we're thinking and feeling and to have truth spoken over it. And I think that in itself, you know, the most powerful therapeutic tool is relationship. And isn't that God's design?
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. I love that. It's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. He did not create us to walk alone. We see that in the garden.
We see that, yeah, as image bearers. You know, we are image bearers of a triune God who's always in relationship with himself. That at no point can we be fixed enough or okay enough to not be in relationship. That is just not how we're meant to live.
So we have a 12-step program, Celebrate Recovery, mm-hmm. that happens here. And so often people come in and they're dealing with so many things and they've just never been willing to tell anybody. And like you said, the enemy wants to isolate. And if he can get enough shame on us mm-hmm. that we think that we'll be judged, that people will, you know, turn us away as crazy, he gives us, there's all this condemnation mm-hmm. that the enemy puts on us that will keep us from telling anyone what we've been through. And, you know, just to see when we are willing to speak our truth into the light of another believer and shed light on it, the enemy loses so much power. Mm-hmm. And so I just believe there's such help in being able to speak. And it has to be with someone we trust, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be someone that we can say, hey, this is what I need to share. And you all provide a safe place for that.
Right. And I think it's important, you know, when we think about processing pain and suffering that we've been through, to be wise about the who and the when and the how, right? And I think that's what's something that's beautiful about Journey is that we are a safe place, you know, that we are going to hold you to scripture and we are going to push you back into the church and saying, mm-hmm. okay, if there's a theological concern that you have, well, a Presbyterian and Church of the Nazarene might align on many things, but maybe there's one particular thing we don't. And say, okay, well, what does Pastor Margaret say about that?
Right.
And so our heart is that as we walk with you along with whatever you're processing, that we lead you to Christ, mm-hmm. you know, and then we lead you to the church.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Because ultimately the church is hopefully going to be in your life much longer than we are. Yeah. You know, we are just a broken vessel at best, but the church is your home.
Yeah. That's really beautiful that you all really do take into account the context that the client is coming from. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the great part from this conversation is that your all's ministry is an extension of the church. Mm-hmm. Y'all partner with the church to help provide a service mm-hmm. to people that might be struggling. Like you said, they're not crazy. They're just struggling or going through a difficult time, and you all just help them through that difficult time. I think of the scripture in the Bible that says, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Mm-hmm. And you all help people know that.
Thank you. Yeah, we do. You know, and I think we can walk with people through anxiety or depression or transitions in life, you know, whether that's grief and loss or divorce or stress.
Yes.
Any of those things, I think it's important to walk through, you know, and our hope is that as God continues to use Journey, is that we will reflect the diversity and beauty of the church, whether that's in our denominations that we see as our counselors or as we reflect, you know, the languages that that our churches speak. You know, we have Elda Maris now, who's a bilingual counselor, and she speaks mm-hmm. English and Spanish, and we are so excited finally be able to help serve the Hispanic churches in our area that, you know, we just haven't had skills to do that.
Right.
You know, and that hopefully that will continue to grow and that we can serve the church from the youngest to the oldest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's great because that's such a huge language in our community.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked about working through just our personal things, but just thinking about those that have relational things that they just feel like maybe this relationship will never be healed. Mm-hmm. And so you kick the can down the road, you know.
Right.
And I think it's important even to think about that. And, you know, is there a relationship that I just think will never be okay, that will never be healed? And maybe we even think it's the other person.
I think counseling helps us have an internal perspective in all of that because there's some truth in that reality that sometimes relationships aren't going to be healed or that it's healthiest if they're not. And there's a brokenness in that. There's a grief in that where I think we can always have the desire and hope for restoration, mm-hmm. this side of heaven, you know, but I think grieving that well allows us to hope in Christ and hope in heaven, that things will be made new and that there will be no more tears and mourning and relational distance and brokenness. Yeah. And it's a both and, right, where we have to grieve what's broken. That's right. And we need to hope in what's true and what's to come. And I think we can't do that on our own.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I hope that as folks are listening today that they will really think about that if there's those places. Because, you know, Ephesians 3 tells us that God has things planned for us that we've mm-hmm. never thought or imagined. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's here. He tells us he will give us abundant life, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we have a part in that to only work on what we can work on mm-hmm. and be as healthy as we can be. Mm-hmm. And I believe that you all are there to help every individual mm-hmm. To live their best life, right? Mm-hmm. To live their life, a life that will glorify the Lord. Right. It can be hard sometimes, and maybe I have a right to feel and to act like I'm acting. And really, do we?
mm-hmm. Right, right. I think allowing us to process pain helps us process those questions too.
That's right.
Or those mm-hmm. beliefs that we have, like, I'm allowed to, they did this to me, I can do this to them. But I think Romans 8:28 really helps us remember, you know, that God works all things out for our good and his glory. And so that there's purpose in the heartache and the divorce and the loss and the anxiety and the uncertainties that come, that it's not purposeless. It's not without God's oversight.
That's right. Right. But we have to give it to him.
Right.
We can't hold on to it.
Right. Can't white knuckle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's, you took my words. I say that at CR all the time. I'm like, we cannot white knuckle this. Mm-hmm. It's called surrender. Mm-hmm. It's called allowing him in and opening our hands and going, I can't do, I've made a mess, right? So now I need you, Lord, mm-hmm. and the community, whatever that looks like too, mm-hmm. whether it's a counselor. And, you know, there's no shame in pastors coming to counseling either,
wonderful.
Right?
It's a wonderful thing. When we feel very privileged when a pastor trusts us with their church, but especially when they trust us with their own care, you know, because we can have a glimpse of the weight that pastors carry. And we know that God gives them a particular responsibility, you know, and I think in that it can create some isolation in their own churches to be the leader and the shepherd. So they can't struggle in the same ways that churchgoers can.
Yeah.
So when we have that place where they cannot be okay too, they can ask the same questions, that they can be human, is a great privilege for us.
Because we're all on a journey. Right. Every person, like no one has arrived.
Right.
We will not, until we're made like Christ, will we be totally healed.
Right.
So walking through pain, our own pain, mm-hmm. and trying to shepherd well.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think mm-hmm. it's been wonderful. And I believe that Mark Sensabaugh has mm-hmm. retired.
He has,
you know, he
yes.
came and has done some panels here for us on Sunday right. morning, and he's been on Hope Talks. And I just believe so much in this, and just to see, I think it's been really helpful to the church to have that presence here and mm-hmm. Just have some candid conversations. So hopefully today this is just another step
right.
in that direction.
And that's something that Journey always loves to do, is that when the church has a need for workshops or panels or ways that we can step into the church, we love to serve in that way, because we know that pastors can refer all day long and have trust in us, but there's another experience for people to have a face to the name and, or have an experience like the panels to say, oh, okay, well, that counselor doesn't seem super judgy or scary or whatever
right.
our stigma is. And so we're always blessed when the church allows us to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're grateful for the partnership.
Me too. Us too.
Well, and as you were both talking, I was thinking, you know, obviously pastors are people too and struggle too, and counselors are people also. Mm-hmm. And so everybody, you know, we're to lift each other up. The Bible says to lift each other up. And Allie, you were talking about Romans 8:28. I also thought of Romans 12:1, where it talks about the renewing of our mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. We have to renew our minds. And I feel like that is what the Lord has equipped you all to help people mm-hmm. think, you know, using scripture, how mm-hmm. we can renew our minds.
Right. Yeah, and the integration of our faith in therapy looks different every session. You know, I think sometimes it feels much like an accessory prayer. Other times it can feel, you know, we wrestle with scripture. Other times we clients express frustration at the Lord or gratitude at what God has done. And I think that's important in the counseling process to allow the whole bandwidth of emotion with God, because he can handle it.
Absolutely.
You know, he also knows it, right? Yeah. And so to encourage all of us to be emotionally authentic with the Lord, I think really does breed a intimacy with God that we can have a deepening of relationship and trust with him in the midst of the hard. Like, our circumstances really change quickly.
Yes.
But how we view them and how we view God in the midst of them is really where I think healing is found.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking about back in January, our church did a series called Healthy Me and really tackled a lot of the issues that, you know, I'm grateful that we have a church that's not afraid to not say that we have all the answers, but try to give people some tools, whether it be anger or anxiety or depression or worry or whatever it is that they're struggling with, that the Bible offers help for us.
Yeah. And, you know, something that we talk about at Celebrate Recovery often is how many times you will go down that road and fall in that same hole before you do something different.
How many times are you going to go around that mountain?
Yeah, how many times you go around that mountain? And so those are the places that, and honestly, in the last year have had a journey of my own where I realized, like, the Lord brought something to my mind that I had no idea was an issue. But then he let me see that it was. And I've been on that journey for the last year and have found deep healing through counseling. And like I said, everyone's on a journey. Find a counselor that's going to help you walk that road. And grateful, so grateful to have you all.
Thank you.
In this valley. And thank you for sharing your story. And yeah, I'm just grateful for John Kibler and, you know, him having that vision and being able to speak truth. And it's hard sometimes to speak truth, right? But it's God's truth. It's not ours.
Right, and scripture won't fail us.
That's right.
And so, you know, we are just vessels speaking those truths. And God gives us discernment of the how and the when and
that's
the peace
right.
and comfort to do so. But that ultimately, scripture will not fail us.
That's right.
Allie,
it will not return void.
Allie, we call this program Hope Talks. So what is bringing you the most hope right now? Or what is one thing that is bringing you hope that you could share with us?
Our church is going through the book of Revelations. And honestly, that book is really scary. It's confusing at times. But I think what has really been encouraging to me is that Jesus will not abandon his church. No matter, imagine like what chaos of the world is going on. You know, or the brokenness of the church. You know, the church is not perfect. And even though I have a wonderful experience with the church, I know the church messes up, but that God will not abandon his church. Has been really meaningful. And that, to me, he's not going to abandon me either.
Right.
In that, the hope we look at and that we're talking about is secure in Christ. So I think that's where my headspace has been. And it's nice when my child is screaming at 3 a.m. that this is a season and that there will be a moment when that's not happening anymore.
That's right.
Or when I mess up with my 4-year-old, that my hope is secure in Christ.
He is our firm foundation.
Well, Allie, thank you for joining us on today's broadcast of Hope Talks. Just in closing, anything that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you would like to share?
If anyone's interested in connecting with Journey, the two easiest ways you can do that is to go on our website, journeycounselingministries.org. We have a phone number and an email address, so you can always connect with us that way. Or if you look at our counseling bios, you can look at our counselors, read about our stories, and connect with them individually. We have a heart to serve our community, you know, the church too, and I think the community at large. And so we have availability to continue to do that right now.
I think that if people have internet, they can find you. But if someone's listening that doesn't have internet, could you just give out the phone number?
Yes, I can. So our phone number is 540-908-3464.
Okay.
And it's going to come straight to a voicemail. It's an automatic voicemail that I check every day. And so someone will give you a call back very quickly.
Yep. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Allie, for joining us today on Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard us talk with Allie Padilla today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.